Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. Mitchell Henderson joins us this hour. We again get a chance to spend an hour with Mitch. His overview, his analyses, his insights are extraordinary about all things military-oriented and certainly military geopolitically oriented as well. The Iran war continues. Congress just okayed another $95 billion for Trump. Nothing for the American people. Add to that the $150 billion already spent, and that doesn't count the full amount that has been given to the parasitic state of Zionist Israel, which is nothing new, and you've got an issue of at least $250 billion spent on trying to bomb and blow up Iran and drive it into submission. It won't happen. Yesterday there was a story out, I ran it, that the U.S. is trying to put together an incredibly sophisticated operation to go in there and steal, take, appropriate, and otherwise control Iran's nuclear materials. Since when does a secret, hyper-sophisticated operation get put in the public news media beforehand? This is stupid. This whole thing is stupid. Hello, Mitchell, and welcome back.
Hello, good to be here. The Iranians don't watch CNN and Fox, so that's how come they can do that, I think.
It's funny. Gosh, it's so stupid, all of it. It's incredible. And we don't have the inventory to continue bombing Iran. We don't have the missiles. We don't have the bombs. We are 4 years behind in getting caught up with the so-called anti-missile defense Patriot system, which is apparently a pile of junk, according to a lot of people who have been associated with it. I've heard, I've read, I've listened. But whatever. And we've just about blown our entire stockpile of weapons for all intents and purposes. They're gone. We've given them to Ukraine.
Yes.
We've used them, burned them up on behalf of Israel's wars. We've given them to the Israelis. They went through them like, a hot knife through cold butter. It's just crazy. It's all crazy. So what do you see, my friend?
Well, I think if you look at the recent events, like the first event is that we're ceasing bombing because, well, we don't have enough air defense missiles to shoot down what Iran's going to send our way. So if the United States doesn't have these missiles, then this means Israel is pretty depleted also. Okay.
Yes, it does.
The second thing is we're sort of depleted in bombs to bomb with. Okay.
Glide bombs, regular kinetic gravity bombs. We don't have them.
All of our bombs, they're gone. Everything. When you look at anything like the air defense missiles, like the offensive weapons, you can just group the United States and Israel together because what we got is what they got. Okay. They don't have anything.
Well,
they don't have
that's why
have
Netanyahu
that
is in D.C.
have.
Right now. Yeah.
Yes, and he made a comment this morning that you should pay attention to. He said if Iran sends more missiles to Israel, and he specifically said that not just missiles but drones, he said Israel will punish Iran on its own. Not including America. This will be Israel punishing Iran. It'll be extremely more harsh than what the United States is doing.
Well, said that again,
okay.
Did he?
So here's the thing is, he can't say he's going to nuke them because Israel doesn't admit that they have nukes. But what weapons do they have that we don't give them? What weapons do they have in their own right that doesn't come from us? And the only weapon is nuclear weapons.
Okay. That's the only one. I can't think of anything else. I think it's obvious what he's talking about.
I think this is the way I see the discussions going on between Netanyahu and Trump now. So Trump really doesn't want to do a land thing. If he does a land thing, what he wants to do, and he wants to do it. He wants to take over Karg Island, and see that is the ultimate economic warfare against Iran. 90% of Iran's oil goes to Clark Island. If he takes it over, that cuts off, like, almost all of Iran's oil revenue. Okay.
That's right.
Not only that, but you have to realize that if Trump takes Clark Island, the United States will never give that back to the Iranian people, ever.
The Iranians know that.
They know that. Yeah, they'll never give it back to Iran. But once they take it, it'll be a permanent
militarily, Clark Island is flat. There's nowhere to hide except underground. What are the chances of a typical ground amphibious invasion with aerial support and all that working?
Well, actually, this is something that's doable. Okay, you get the 75th Rangers to go take the airfield. And establish an air, what do you call it, airhead. A airhead is like a beachhead, only it's an airport. Okay, and then you get the 82nd Airborne in there, because he sent these units to the Middle East, right? So you get the 82nd Airborne in there to, secure the airhead. And then, so the Rangers take it, 82nd Airborne secures it. Then you have SEAL teams, they're the UDT guys. So it's their job to clear the beaches, okay? So, but if they, this is not a terribly big island, so probably the Rangers and the Airborne can take the island over from the air, aerial envelopment, right?
And what will Iran do to counter a ground amphibious invasion of that kind? What will their response be? We both know, but I just want you to tell
only,
our listeners.
Well, they're only 15 to 20 miles away on the coast, and right. They're going to, of course, shoot lots of missiles and drones
to attack
the Americans there, right? Yeah. So remember I was saying once before that back in the old days, you would mass your troops, you would lay down artillery pepper fire, preparatory fire, lay down air support to keep the enemy's head down while you go in and take the land, right? So I think what Netanyahu may be trying to sell Trump on is instead of the usual preparatory fires, which we don't have the artillery and the air support to do that now. We've thrown it away at other targets. So I think Netanyahu's saying, well, we can give you nuclear preparatory fires. That will end this war this week. Well, the week that they decide to do that.
What will the Jews nuke if they do that? What will they nuke?
People.
Just to go right after Tehran. They'll kill a million people.
They'll no doubt take out the 10 biggest cities and just genocide the Iranian people. I mean, Trump has said he's going to genocide
Gaza was just a lip-smacking warm-up for the Israelis, right? So they know how to kill.
And then they'll throw some stuff at some, places of military and industrial interest and infrastructure interest, too. But I'm thinking that they'll probably go ahead and Iran has 93 million people. I think to make an impact, they need to kill 30 to 40 million of them. Okay.
40 million?
And I think that's
biggest massacre
that's
in human history.
To do is kill 40 million people. Sure, they will. These are the most immoral creatures that have ever inhabited the planet Earth. Okay, so. Yes, they have no
100%.
Scruples at all. Mm-hmm. It is okay for them to do that in their own mind, okay? So, Netanyahu just wants to play the thing, they lobbed some missiles at us, and we warned them, so we took them out. But the world won't be fooled. The world is going to know that Israel and the United States used nuclear weapons offensively on Iran.
Oh, yes.
Totally contrary to the UN Charter, international law, everything else. It'll be a war crime. Okay, but we're already in the middle of war crime now. Israel was a war criminal state. When we got into this war with Israel against Iran, we are notice it. You know, you just have to remember that they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it over here. But let me show you just how layered this is, Jeff. Okay, so you know, in America, if you look at any source or ask anybody, any news source, ask the government, ask academia, they will say that there will never be a nuclear war because it'll be mutually assured destruction. They have convinced the American people that there can't be a nuclear war because it would exterminate all humanity. Okay. This is a lie started by a Jewish man, I might add, Herman Kahn. He's the one who came up with this concept. Okay. And what they have tried to do since the 1960s is spin nuclear war as something unwinnable, something that will exterminate all of humanity. Okay. So the thing is, it's not true. It's not true.
Okay. Question.
It will not exterminate all of humanity. It won't.
Okay. Question. If the Jews nuke Iran, what will Putin and Xi Jinping do? Or Pakistan, for that matter.
If Israel nukes Iran, I think what will happen is at that point, Putin will go ahead and end the war in Ukraine by nuking it. Okay, he will use nuclear weapons to bring the war in Ukraine to a close, because he needs to do that. Okay, during this whole thing, we've been expending our weapons like crazy. So let me get in a little bit into Chinese strategy, so that you understand. So several things. China's never built an army to go conquering other lands. China, the last time China conquered any land was 1790. You know, they really were, for all intents and purposes, done conquering land for their country in 1750. So as long as America has existed, China really has not expanded their land. What the Qing dynasty had in 1750 is what they have now, except for a few little chunks here and there. But they totally stopped by 1790, okay? So what they had in 1790 is all they have or is claiming now. Now, China, since the Communist Party took over in 1949, China has made peace and made peace with all its neighbors. They settled all land boundaries with North Korea, with Russia, with Mongolia, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Myanmar and Laos. They haven't settled with India, but you got to remember, India is kind of a West thing, okay? We wouldn't allow them to negotiate with China. We have always tried to play India against China. So India is the only land boundary that's not settled, okay? Then they have boundaries in the South China Sea, the East China Sea, and the Yellow Sea. And the Yellow Sea is some rocks that Korea changes, claims. And there's three little islands in the East Sea that Japan claims. And then in the South China Sea, they've tried to extend their island bases way as far as south, surrounding the whole sea, that they can. And this is because the Chinese eat 57 million tons of seafood per year. So it is food security. It is an existential threat for them to be cut off from the sea. And you see, the United States has cut them off with the first island chain. That's Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Australia. The second island chain and the third island chain. We were containing them on purpose. It is a purposeful thing. And it's not that they want to expand and take territory in the Pacific. They just want freedom to fish there. Mm-hmm. But we won't allow them that. Okay. So the only place they have to fix is the South China Sea. So all the countries that have claims against China and the South China Sea are also egged on by the United States to not settle those claims. So the only way they can really break out of the first island chain is to take back Taiwan. Okay, so how are they going to take back Taiwan?
Good question.
Well, listen, it's actually not a big question. It should be easy to answer. If you go back to the Chinese Civil War, 1945 to 1949, mm-hmm. The way that the communists won is like they started with the city in Manchuria because it was industrial and so forth, Changchun. And Changchun, what they did is they encircled it and seized it, blockaded it until it fell. Then they moved on to Shenyang, south of there, then to Guizhou, south of there. Then, of course, Peking, Nanking, Chongqing, Shanghai, and Canton. Okay, so this is how they won in the Chinese Civil War. Okay, so so what have they not been successful at? Well, when they sent 200,000 Chinese people's volunteers into Korea, well, they got their asses handed to them. So it was not good. They did not perform well. When they invaded Vietnam in 1979 as a punitive invasion, they got their butt handed to them then too. So the PLA knows that it's no good at frontal assaults. Okay, what they've been doing since then is they've been trying to really concentrate and develop defensive tactics, but formal modern defensive tactics like logistics, air support, artillery support, communications. They've been trying to get combined in arms and services to produce the ability in combat engineers to produce the ability to have an effective army for the defense. But it does not have an offensive army. They have none. It's not an offensive army. They have no plans to invade any other countries. Okay, they just want to keep themselves from being invaded and to take Taiwan. They also had the experience in 1957-58. They tried to take Kimoi and Matsu Islands just off the coast, like a mile off the coast, and right. They couldn't do it. The PLA couldn't do it. So actually, they haven't even been thinking about amphibious assaults or landings. So all this money we send, this hundreds of million dollars we sent to Taiwan for defensive weapons, well, you know, the Chinese have no plans to go up against them. They're uninterested in that. When they take Taiwan, they want it to be whole and fixed. They don't want to have to do a reconstruction there.
You're talking about a diplomatic handover?
No. What are we talking about? The same thing they did to Changchun and Shenyang and Guizhou.
That'll work now, so that's a long time ago. All right.
They're going to encircle it and blockade it and starve it out until they surrender. Can they do it? Well, it's 7,000 miles from America, so we can't do nothing about it if they do it. And they have put all their money and all their effort into area denial and anti-access. Okay, so this is where all their tactics, all their money, all their strategies gone. They're 100 miles away from Taiwan. They can control the seas and the air over Taiwan. And we can't do anything about it. And we know we can't do anything about it. They don't tell the public this, but if you look at the Marine Corps journals and stuff where they talk about this and stuff, the Marine Corps knows what they're going to do and knows that they can't do anything about it. They know it. When they war game it, they always lose. So so China knows this too. China knows that they can keep us away from Taiwan. They can successfully blockade it and starve it out. There's nothing we can do. Can you imagine us trying to get air shipments into Taiwan with China just 100 miles away?
No.
There's no way we could do that.
They have long-term air-to-air missiles now. Yeah, go way farther than that.
Yeah, so that's what China's going to do. In Russia, they're gonna close the Ukraine thing. But you know, if the European countries, they've already gotten way too involved, Russia is ready to use non-nuclear weapons to destroy weapons plants and stuff like that in mainland Europe. They are ready to go to do that. Okay, and if that can cause a lot of miscalculation. Things can spiral out of control, and we can have a thermonuclear war. And as I have explained before, people, it's not the nuclear weapons that will kill 90% of the world's population. The nuclear weapons themselves can kill no more than 10% of all Americans. Okay. So I do the calculation. When I'm staying at town, I stay 20 miles away from ground zero. Okay, and that's because they're going to use a 1 megaton bomb probably, but I calculate for a 20 megaton bomb just to be safe. Okay, so you know it's only going to kill about 10% of the Americans. What will kill most people is what follows on. You know, supply chains are going to break down, fuel will break down. There'll be no supplies. There'll be no energy. We're going into a winter. There'll be starvation. And starvation makes people weak. And then there'll be diseases. And, of course, Bill Gates has been busy creating diseases that he can infect the people with to wipe us out so he can save the world. So he can save the planet from the people.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Right. So there's a lot of bad actors out there that want to do really bad things to you. And so
right.
Nobody cares about you, America. Americans, nobody cares about you at all. You know, they care about their goals, their money, their assets. They don't care about you and what happens to you. The WEF has made it very clear that they want to kill 7.5 billion people. They've said it. I don't see any reason why we should not believe them.
I don't either. I concur. I do. I believe you. I just don't. If the Karg Island trigger is pulled on the basis of Jewish-Israeli nukes following or preceding that, I don't know how this can escalate into a world war because China will pounce. Trump will move against the Europeans who are supplying the Ukrainians with machines, drones, etc. They will, and Trump is going to sit. I don't think he'll know what the hell to do. Even they can war game it all they want. He won't personally know what to do. He'll say, "What do we do?"
After America gets nuked and 90% of us are dead, Trump will declare a great victory. Is exactly what he'll do. Okay. He'll say, America, we are one. We beat their ass. You know, that's what Trump will be saying. You know, doesn't live in reality.
No.
Okay. He lives in a delusional world. His mentor growing up was Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. This is New Thought Christianity where you think your world into existence. You know, if you think of this positive, beautiful world, that's what's going to happen. Okay. And if you have setbacks, this is where Roy Kahn comes in. If you have setbacks, the setbacks are a victory. Never deny everything, never admit defeat, always claim victory. So it's like there's this world. There's reality, the spiritual world, reality that God made, and then there's this world, this evil world, and Trump isn't in either one of those. He's in his own world. Okay, I mean he is so far gone. Did you see him at World Cup? He wanted to be on the stage with the winning team and stuff.
He's mentally ill.
The president of the country. Will get out there and pass out the medals and stuff with the president of the FIFA, right?
Right, that's a normal
thing. But then when the winning team comes for the big photograph on the stage, the president's not supposed to be there. That is their time. But he wouldn't leave. He stayed there because he wanted to grab Spain's
glory. Isn't that disgusting? You're right.
Yes.
And isn't that disgusting, truly? Oh.
Yeah, he's a megalomaniac, you know. It's all, he's everything's, you know, did you remember what he said when they decided not to release the Epstein files? He says, yeah, I don't know why everybody's concerned with this Epstein thing. You know, we've shown my name wasn't there, so who cares about that now? I mean, think about that. His whole attitude was just self-serving. Had nothing to do with the American people. Had nothing to do with accountability. Had nothing. It only had to do with him. And he made the 250th birthday of America as a celebration of Donald Trump, is what he did. I mean,
well, just, yeah. You got to keep in mind, everyone, the story, unverified to this point, but I tend to believe it, that Trump, in one of his meetings with the Joint Chiefs, demanded the nuclear codes be given to him so he could order a nuke or multiple nukes to be used on Iran. He was crazy. Yep. He was crazed with anger. And General Dan Kane said, no, Mr. President. He denied the order. He denied following the order. That's a remarkable story. And it's just never been given any coverage. That kept us out of nuclear war, probably right there. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It did. Well, it is. And you know, one of the things that I was talking to you in the past week for is, you know, China has been running this propaganda program aimed at America. And what China wants to do is, the United States doesn't believe that nukes have ever been used. So China is putting out propaganda to try to impress upon Americans that a nuclear war is very real, very possible, and it could happen any time. They would like us to get anxious over it because they know that most of us don't like Trump. So they're trying to fuel the fire, and they can do that by allaying that fear. The United States government doesn't want you to fear nuclear war. They want you to fear nuclear war so much that it's not a possible thing. Nobody in the right mind would do that. And that is delusional. Okay? If you have a weapon, people will use it. Okay? So, you know, China's trying to wake us up. Russia propaganda actually wants to wake Americans up to the possibility of nuclear war. Okay, but we listen to our government, we listen to academia, we listen to this. And this started happening like 5 years ago or so. And you could tell that it was happening because, you know, the CIA sits out there and they try to, if you're not going to fear nuclear weapons, then what do you have to do to the American people to get them to just not worry about it? Well, you got to put out propaganda saying, well, there really isn't any nuclear weapon. They've put out various propaganda things, brainwashing things. One is there is no real nuclear war weapons. And to butter that up, they say it's a Jewish plot to make people believe that there's nuclear weapons. Okay, but they don't really exist. Okay. Another iteration of this plot is space aliens will not allow Earthlings to let loose their nuclear weapons. They can inactivate them all at one time. I mean, it just goes on and on. Every iteration of it is
good luck
possible.
To those people who believe that. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, well, I just say, you know, you're going to see here pretty soon that they do exist, okay, when they start going off. Of course, there'll be people who say, oh, that was AI film or something like that. But at some point, when it hits your town, it'll be unmistakable, okay, that there's nuclear weapons. So anyways, my book, The Final War, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, I've got a whole chapter in there on how to survive a nuclear war. I even discuss nuclear weapons and their capabilities in there. So, you know, it's like when I was a young soldier and I went to nuclear warfare school, I learned to not fear the bomb, but love it and see what its great potential was for fighting the enemy and stuff. That nuclear wars was winnable. Okay, so, and it's pretty hard, it's pretty settled science and stuff. Although, I've seen another thing in the past 5 years. They, you know, it's pretty well known that if you have a bomb bursting in the air, an air burst 1,000 feet up or more, that the cone of destruction is bigger on the surface. But at the time the initial radiation goes off, it's all dissipated before any dust is kicked up. So these bombs do not produce fallout. A bomb that hits square on the surface, the initial radiation is going off at the same time dust is kicked up, and that causes fallout. But I have seen that now what our government is doing is trying to convince people that even air bursters create massive fallout. That's just not simply, that's simply not true. I mean, let me see.
Of course, air bursts creates nuclear radiation and fallout. Of course. I don't know where this comes from. I never figured that out.
Well, no, the air burst does not create fallout.
How does it not create
surface
fallout?
Burst.
Oh, okay, I know the difference. I get it. But
Let me explain.
How high are you talking about? How high up?
Oh, a thousand feet. Okay, so here's the thing. That what creates fallout is when the bomb goes off, there's this burst of initial radiation.
Right.
And that's what irradiates dust particles and stuff around it. Okay. So if it bursts up in the air, there's no dust up there. And no dust has been kicked up in the time that this initial radiation is just for seconds. Okay, so this all dissipates into the atmosphere. It does not hit particles appreciable amount. Okay, but what they are trying to argue is this: for example, if you take a 50-pound sack of flour and spread that, you just all of a sudden burst that flour into the air. 1,000 feet up, okay, how much flour is going to fall on the people on the ground down below? Or will it be so spread out that you barely will see any?
I concur that it's far less as an airburst, but I don't think you can call it zero. I don't know who's doing that.
Well, no, it's not totally zero, but it's put it this way, it's not significant.
Okay. I know, I understand. 1,000 feet is not very high. The impact damage would be almost unimaginable. The blast.
Right. So the reason why they burst these weapons up in the atmosphere is one, because radiation flows with the wind and they don't want it blowing on them. So everybody has an interest in minimizing the fallout. And two, the second thing is if you take say a 1 megaton bomb and you blow it up on the surface, it's going to destroy everything in a radius of like a mile.
Okay. You talking about how many megatons, Mitch? Megatons?
One megaton will destroy it. Hitting the surface will probably destroy everything within a mile radius.
If
you blow that up 1,000 feet in the air, it will destroy everything for 13 mile radius.
It's huge.
So if you want more bang for your buck, okay, you're going to blow it up in the air.
Oh, always been that way. I understand. I just don't. Yeah. I don't know who's saying zero. I don't think they're right. There's no zero at all. It's a nuclear bomb, and at 1,000 feet, it's still going to have impact into the ground.
See, there's another guy who made up this, another Jewish guy made up this theory called nuclear winter. Okay. And nuclear winter,
bestseller.
Set nuclear bombs off, right? And these bombs, the light goes out and catches fires. But light travels faster than sound. So what happens is a blast wave comes out, an overpressure creates a blast wave. Right, and that'll actually blow fires out. Okay, it's just like when you have an oil well on fire. How do you put it out? You put an explosive next to it, and it blows it out. It's the same principle. They first argued that when the blast wave goes out, it creates an underpressure, and the blast wave comes back in. It's true, a blast wave does come back in, and they say the blast wave coming back in starts a fire. This is ridiculous. Okay, if the wind blows it out, the wind doesn't start it. Okay, I mean, so anyways, they're trying to convince people that all human life will be lost. Listen, they do this all the time. Climate change. Global warming was supposed to have exterminated mankind by 2021. Okay? These are all fear tactics. Okay? They want you to be afraid. They want you to be afraid, and they want you to trust the government.
Well, people look around you.
Do you trust the government to do anything? Your life got worse. Your kids haven't accomplished what you could accomplish in life, and the grandchildren are going to accomplish even less. Everybody's just going towards massive poverty. Okay, lives are getting worse. These people that run our government have not improved anything in my lifetime. They've improved nothing.
Agree.
All they do is destroy, rob us, and destroy our lives. That's what they do. But those people want you to trust them with your life. They're the only ones who can save you from space aliens. They're the only ones who can save you from climate change. They're the only ones who can save you from nuclear war. See, they truly believe we are all incredibly stupid and we can't think for ourselves. Okay.
Right.
And they
right.
forget that some of us worked in the nuclear industry. Some of us worked with nuclear weapons. We know all about them. Okay, so, but they don't care because there's not enough of us to get the word out. So.
Well, no argument for me. I think that if they do use a megaton or more, they're going to have to light it off higher than 1,000 feet. That's an enormous fireball. It will hit the ground and it will throw up nuclear dust and debris. The other side of it is the radioactive isotopes and things that will come from the blast at 3,000 feet, at 5,000 feet, will go up into the upper atmosphere, circle the globe, and fall down everywhere. That's what's going to happen. The jet stream will pick them up and run with them.
It's a very, very big planet, and it's only 50 pounds of nuclear isotopes. Okay.
One meg bomb is 50 pounds.
More of that has been put out here by our government sprayed on the American people. More than that has been used against us already. So the
idea of using a nuke on this country will paralyze the public. They won't know what to do. They will absolutely freak out. They will not have any idea that those 99% have made no plans. They have no food put away, no storables, no prepping, so you're going to see total chaos if there's a nuke here. I don't know how you're going to do anything else. One nuke, one megaton, one nuke on a medium-sized American city or a big city will I think, psychologically cripple the country.
Oh, yeah. That's why I think Israel is going to make a false flag and blame Iran for setting off a nuke in the United States.
It's on the table, and it has been discussed endlessly, I'm sure.
For years, it's been discussed. It's not a new thing. Because in order to win the American people back over to being on Israel's side, it's got to be something so traumatic, so catastrophic, that it'll block people's logic. Okay.
Knee-jerk
support, and that's what they're looking for.
That's really the only thing left. It wouldn't work with a bioweapon because the element of shock is gone. We got used to it with COVID. So,
not only that, but a lot of us don't believe it either. So
there's that.
There's not just the shock, but a lot of people think it was bullshit. You know, this virus, the virus itself only had a fatality rate of 0.04%. This is not a terrible. The vaccination for the virus was the real weapon. The virus
yes, sir.
Was a fear tactic. And
from my understanding of years, 5-6 years, you don't want that virus under any circumstance. It's not as bad. It's not as intense, we'll call it, as the injection, but you don't want that virus because it creates spike and you will be in trouble. They're finding out all kinds of things lately about just getting the virus, the lab-created bioweapon virus. You don't want to do that. It's not as harsh, as explosive, as nuclear as the injection, but you don't want it. You do not want it. That's my take. Anyway, what's our time frame, Mitchell? Time frame. What are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, you know, let's see what Trump and Netanyahu are talking about as we're speaking. They're talking
as we're speaking
for consultations. So, yeah. You know, we know what's on Israel's mind. And not only that, but, you know, some of the ministers over there have just come out and said, well, yeah, it's just nuke, guys, a nuke, the West Bank nuke, this nuke, that. I mean, they speak very loosely of it. And we have people here in America. We have some congressmen and senators that think it's a good idea to nuke Iran and stuff. I mean, you know.
I know. They've gotten away with more than bloody murder. They've gotten away with a Holocaust against human life in Gaza.
Yes.
They've gotten away with it.
Yes.
No one did anything to stop it. No one has gone in there with any kind of meaningful, virtually anything by way of relief, supplies, or help for those people. They're just being killed off every day and squeezed into a smaller and smaller area. And then they're all going to either be relocated or they're going to die. That's what's going on. So do you think, people, that this state, this Zionist state that we support, the formerly United States of America, would hesitate to nuke Iran? Mitch is correct. They'll nuke any city they want. Who's going to do anything to stop them? What's Putin going to do? Don't do that again. Stop that. What's he going to do? Anyway,
well,
I think he's going to
take that as a segue into using him himself.
He'll go into Europe. He'll tactically destroy with nukes.
Sure.
A lot of European, and we'll call them industrial centers, who are building things for the Zelensky maniacs, which are being used against Russians. So, I don't know how he can't. Zelensky has to be losing a lot of support of the Russian people. He's fought that war against a two-bit, tin horn, loser, trisexual creep, a cretin, or cretin, if you will, Zelensky, for 4 years now, and he can't end the war. He can't end it. And now Russia is being pounded.
It's like I said, warfare has changed. We have land trench warfare in Ukraine and air sea trench warfare in Iran. And the only way to come to a decision in either one of these wars, and any modern war, will be nuclear weapons.
You can't concentrate force anymore.
To come to a concession. You cannot concentrate forces for an attack anymore. Massing navies, massing tanks.
No, I hope you all understand that.
Because of ISR. ISR makes that obsolete. You can't mass anything.
What do you think about...
sort of inevitable.
Will this country... And we all know, I think, that treason has been committed many times, going way back. Will this country sacrifice the USS Lincoln, for example, or any other aircraft carrier, as a real Tonkin-like event to get us in, to galvanize the American public against the evil enemy? Will we allow?
Well, I think we would do that, but I don't think that's enough to galvanize the people now. I mean, listen, even people just, if Israel pulls a false flag in America, you know what? A good chunk of America, at least 25% of Americans, will automatically know that it was Israel that did it. They're not going to be fooled.
And the majority of Gen Z will know. They're hip to this. They know what's going on.
Yeah, not only that, but they're going to pass anti-Semitism laws, and they're going to come and crush their opposition. Okay, they will do anything. They will destroy America, destroy our freedoms, take away our Bill of Rights for Israel. They will do anything for Israel. Israel is their God. Israel is the Antichrist. and it's in charge.
Okay.
So this is the way that it's going to go down.
False flag on America via a nuclear weapon on an American city will shock this country into, at first, immobility, and then chaos. That would be my expectation.
Yeah.
All driven by the Jewish media.
I just want to tell the American people. I just want to tell you that if our country, which is in a situation where we are nuclear attacked, we have a nuclear war over Israel. People, don't allow these people to be in charge. Do not rally around the government. All right, they're killing the people you love. You need to stop listening to them. Almost everything said on the news, everything said by the government, is a lie. It's an outright
100%.
Ridiculous lie.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame. What a shame we have to even say these things. What a shame we grew up thinking we had an honorable system of geopolitics here. We thought we could trust those people we sent to Washington to represent us. Uh-uh. No, all gone.
Well clearly they do not represent us. Clearly they don't. They represent Israel, not us.
And you couldn't be more correct. It's the truth. And you tell the rank and file, the sheep, and they'll think you're crazy. And that's why you people listening are in the elite of the well-informed. You know what's going on. You may disagree, but that's fine. You're listening. You're thinking. Make up your own mind. Whatever. But everything Mitch has put on the table this evening and before is a distinctly possible outcome. And I think your comment about losing a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier won't be enough of a false flag. That's a very interesting comment. It'll require a nuclear explosion on American soil to turn the Americans against Iran to the extent that...
It's got to be something that hits home for everybody, up close and personal.
Well, that would do it. Total paralysis, then total chaos.
Yep.
And Trump runs for a fourth term. I mean, a third term.
Okay.
I lose track.
Yeah, he's sort of crazy. But let me tell you. You think don't have any buyer's regret because if Kamala Harris had been elected, Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan would have us in this very same position a year ago. Okay.
Yeah, and who's directing her immediately? Her hubby. Her Jewish Zionist Mossad, in all likelihood,
she doesn't
husband.
Have a brain. She doesn't have a brain. It's like, you know, we can land a spacecraft on the moon, on the sun, if we go at night, you know. So this is the mentality of
She didn't say that, did she?
No, that was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that.
AOC said that?
But I think she would believe that. I seriously think she would believe it.
She's number one in the latest poll, Mitch. She's number one in the latest poll to represent the communists in the 2028 presidential election. AOC.
Well, let me tell you, I think that evil runs this world, and I can tell you how to predict who's going to win the election. Take the stupidest, the most shallow, the most vapid person, candidate running, the most incapable person, and that's who will win. Okay, like in New Mexico, we have a mayor, Greg Hull of Rio Rancho. Rio Rancho has no crime, no homeless people, no social problems. Good infrastructure. It's a safe, clean city. Okay, the only one in New Mexico, the only clean city in New Mexico. He's running for governor against Deb Haaland. Deb Haaland is a nothing. She is good at nothing. She's good for nothing. She's shallow. She's mediocre. She's just some woke Native American woman, and she would be a disaster for the state of New Mexico. So So I will tell you right now, she is going to win the governorship because people have no logic. I don't think it's that the people.
Well, they have no legitimate vote count either.
It's that there's no legitimate voting system in this country. If you're you cannot win any seat in the government in New Mexico. It's a one party Democrat state. So she's going to win over common sense. She's going to win. There's a candidate who could really help the state and improve everything. Yeah. We're the worst state in the union. He could really do something about it, but he will not be elected. No way, impossible hell.
What do they call it?
The worst candidate will be elected.
The Peter Principle. American politics has risen to the depths of incompetence.
Yes. I think you're correct. It is. We promote incompetence.
We reward it.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah. No, and no one is accountable just for openers, friends. So, yeah, well, your scenario in New Mexico is probably correct. Did I ever send you, I'm going to have to look for it, that video of what is purportedly under Gene Hackman's home?
No, I did not see that.
I'm going to try and look for that. I ran it, and I hope I can find it. It was very compelling. It had the ring of truth. Something very old, lots of tunnels. He was kind of the custodian of it. He knew it when he bought the place. And now it'll move on to someone else. There's an ancient history there. Big tunnels.
Wow.
That's what I heard. I'll look for it. I will look for it. Okay, thank you very much, Mitch. Interesting and logical and pragmatic, as always.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night.
I appreciate it. Good night, everybody. Okay.
Mitch Henderson. He makes good points. Very difficult to argue. Pragmatic. We'll be right back. Hold on.